what really happened with your host, Mike Rivero, because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show. It's Monday, May 23rd, 2011, just about 1 week until June. Wow, how time flies when you're fighting the fascists. And obviously, the bad news is for those of you who were planning on looting the homes of your neighborhood Christians this week, it's canceled. It's off. The rapture did not happen. Repeat, the rapture did not happen. We got plenty of tornadoes, plenty of flooding. We got 20-foot snowpacks up there in the Rocky Mountains that when they melt are going to cause even more flooding. But the rapture did not happen. So we're all here having a great deal of fun at the expense of the end of the world believers and so forth and so on. And I'm already getting all these emails from people saying, oh, well, those people who believe that, those aren't the real Christians. We're the real Christians over here, and all those others, those aren't real Christians. And it kind of reminds everybody that Christianity is not a faith. It's about 150 to 200 different tiny splinter faiths that share a few common principles and otherwise sneer at each other over the fine details. Now then, the other big story over the weekend, of course, was the denial of service attack on the domain registration company DirectNIC, which is one of the largest domain registrars in the world. And DirectNIC itself was not really hacked. They weren't broken into. The actual attack was on what are called the domain name servers. And what it is, whoever was behind this, and I'm going to tell you who I think it was a little bit later, they went out and they found a way to go into the domain name servers. These are the actual machines. When you type in whatreallyhappened.com, the system that translates that to the IP and points you at our servers, that's the domain name server. And the hackers got into those and started playing with the lookup tables so that instead of going to my website, you were going to websites that were serving up malware. There was something about take a chance, win a prize. There was a whole bunch of different ones in play here. And it was just general mayhem out there. There was apparently somebody had a clone of my site from like 2 months ago with old stories, and that was coming up for some people. And it was just a huge, huge mess. They're still sorting out the last fine details, but mail service was disrupted. Getting the web pages was disrupted. The denial of service attack on DirectNIC appears to have been a distraction, basically because the domain name server lookup tables are updated automatically on a regular basis. And the next time they were updated automatically from DirectNIC, all of the hacking and intrusion would be erased, and it would go back to being normal. It's a self-repairing system. So the denial of service attack on DirectNIC appears to have been an effort to keep the damage lasting as long as possible, to prevent DirectNIC from automatically repairing these router lookup tables in the domain name servers. Now, who did this and why? Was it just a bunch of hackers who decided this was a really cool weekend to go out and steal a lot of credit card numbers? Could very well have been. Maybe. But it was so large and heavy-handed and obvious, I'm not sure. These days, hackers try and stay below notice. If they steal your credit card number, they don't put $5,000 on your credit card because it leaps out at you. You know you've been had. The hackers like to steal a million credit cards and hit each one of them for just a couple of bucks. They still become millionaires, but 99% of the people who have credit cards don't go through the charges item by item, and they'll overlook. They'll miss a $2 or $5 or $10 charge. They won't pay any attention to it, and they won't report it, and they don't get caught. The hackers don't get caught. So something this heavy-handed appears to have been designed to attract attention. Now, some people are wondering if this was a test of being able to take down the Internet ahead of a new false flag. If that was the case, it was kind of a flub. Pretty much all the key websites were back up within a few hours. So that may have been a flub. But as a justification for Obama's new enhanced cybersecurity initiative, which will license the net and bloggers, yeah, that's a good likelihood. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesen, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372, or visit terravim.com.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Manny's in the control room, twiddling the dials and answering your phone calls if you care to share your words of wisdom with us on the program today. Now, we're talking about this hacking operation that happened over the weekend that disrupted a lot of websites, not just mine. Denial of service attack on DirectNIC, the domain registry, and for everybody using their name servers, it shut down their websites. Obviously, today we're all dispersing out to other name servers elsewhere, so this is not going to happen to us again. So as a test of a weapons system or a way to take down the whole net, it's kind of flubbed because everybody's already adapting to it, and this methodology, which didn't work all that well anyway, will be almost completely ineffective probably by the end of the week here. But this might have been a political exercise, okay? Because remember, we live under a government that, as we can see from the tornadoes and the flooding and the oil in the Gulf of Mexico and the radioactivity all over the West Coast and Wall Street running rampant over all of our pocketbooks here, this is a government that can't actually deal with the real world. They're inept, incompetent. They're all lawyers and politicians. They've never grown anything. They've never built anything. They don't know how to repair the roads. All they know how to do is yak at each other, take money, and give it to their cronies. They can't handle a real crisis. So the way they keep control over America is they'll manufacture a crisis out of nothing. And they'll talk about it, and they'll pontificate about it, and they'll sell you a solution, usually in exchange for increased taxation and reduction of your freedoms. War on poverty, war on drugs, war on carbon dioxide, war on dangling participles, whatever. Okay, and I want to remind everybody What happened back in 1995? I mean, the internet, remember, the internet was never supposed to be made public. You know, a mass communication media that individuals can use that is not under government control was never supposed to happen. The ARPANET was set up exclusively for the use of the U.S. military and its contractors at universities and private companies around the world, and people would put it in their home. And the government, when it tried to reassert control over the internet, who was allowed to use it in the 1970s, the people running the backbone machine said, we'll pay for it from now on. We don't need your funding. And that was called the Great Revolt, and that's when the ARPANET became the internet and broke free from government control. And ever since, the government's been trying to figure out some way to get it back under control so that you don't see what the government doesn't want you to see. So back in 1995, when the government was already in a panic that certain crimes, like the murder of White House Deputy Counsel Vincent Foster, were getting out to the public, Senator James Exon, Democrat of Nebraska, started campaigning for what was called the Exon Amendment to the Telecommunications Reform Act, which was going to punish anybody using indecency or obscenity on the internet. And what was really interesting, this is a textbook example of how the government will create a crisis in order to sell you a solution. For about a month before the debate was scheduled on the Exon Amendment, there was pornography pouring onto the internet, just flood stage, absolute flood stage. Now, this was back in the days when most people were sharing stuff through what was called Usenet. This is before web pages and browsers came along. And Usenet was kind of a sort of a news posting system. And it had categories. And if you were interested in things like seeing naked ladies, there was a naked lady group. And if you were interested in things like cookie recipes, there was a cookie recipe group. And there were groups about grooming your dog. And there were groups about, you know, archaeology and art and music and just, you know, what the entire range of human interests were in these various Usenet groups, and they were sectioned off. For people who wanted pornography, there was a little separate little area for them. Go have fun over there. In this case, the pornography was being thrown into every Usenet group. Very inappropriate. The cooking groups were getting these pictures. And the people in Usenet would tell these posters, please, there are places where you're supposed to take this. And the posters would get very rude and arrogant, and I have a First Amendment right to put this picture here among the brownie recipes. And just really over the top. So we all did a little bit of digging, and we found out that all of these pornography pictures that were going into the very inappropriate places on Usenet were coming from .gov and .mil servers. It was all government stuff. And we tracked it all back to this source, and we confirmed that it was basically a massive government propaganda operation to create the illusion that the entire net was out of control and filled with pornography so that Senator Exon could get up there and scream about the scourge of porn on the net and the requirement for government control. And as soon as the debate started, the flood of porn turned off like a switch was thrown. You know, bink, and it was gone. Problem was over. Obviously, a manufactured crisis to justify loss of freedom on the internet. And we've seen this time and time again. The government will create the illusion of a problem and then sell you a solution in exchange for your money and your freedoms. And since then, of course, covert government agencies have set up these front groups like Domains by Proxy, where when they set up these kind of operations like phony Al-Qaeda websites, they're harder to track down now, even though under ICANN rules they're not supposed to exist, but they still set these things up. So that's the way these things get done. The government puts the pornography on the net so the government can stand up and say, we must have control over the internet. So, you know, keeping in mind, I mean, looking through my server logs, Department of Homeland Security has been prowling around really good on my server, and I think they're either checking for damage or whatever. But at this point, my number one suspect for last weekend's DirectNIC DDoS and the deliberate corruption of the lookup tables on the domain name service is the U.S. government itself or some of their contractors over in Israel. Because we've got Barack Obama, who's already talking about a new cybersecurity initiative. We're already seeing the inevitable flood of articles into the Computer Technical Journal saying, oh, we must rebuild the internet in order to bring computer crime back under control. And, of course, we had Barack Obama meeting with the top executives of Silicon Valley only, February, I think. Yeah, it was back in February, where he went to them and said, we must prepare so that what happened in Egypt, where social media led the revolution against that fascist dictatorship, can't happen here, because we all love our fascist dictatorship, and we don't want to have that happen here. And so now we're seeing this push to redo the internet so that the government can control what is and is not on there, all in the name of your own safety and your own protection, of course. And frankly, we've seen this before, not in computers, in books, back in 1933 when the Nazis were doing the book burning. That's what it was about. You're only allowed to see the information the dictator says is good for you. And back in the Nazi Germany, they burned the books. And here in the United States of America, they're seizing domains. And they always have a really good excuse. Oh, it's porn. It's intellectual property violation. It's piracy. But we know what the real target is. The real target is the right of the American people to have enough information to make good choices at the ballot box, or ultimately the ammo box. Thomas Jefferson said the highest duty of every American is to keep themselves fully informed so they can make good choices. And the government does not want you to be fully informed. The government wants to make sure you only have the knowledge that will lead you to decide of your own free will what the government wants you to do. That's all mind control is, controlling the brain by controlling what it knows. And the government and the media have lost that control because of the internet and the blogs. And they're trying to get it back, and they're trying to trick you out of your free internet. They're trying to trick you out of your public forum, so that once again, it'll just be the government-controlled media telling you, oh yes, Iran has a nuclear... Iran, they're bad. They have nuclear weapons. We have to go... We have no choice but to go kill Israel's enemies. So right now, where you are right now, the blogosphere, the internet, this is now the high ground in the war for the future of the nation and the world. It's not on the front lines of Afghanistan or Somalia or Yemen. It's right here in cyberspace. This is a reformation being fought in the virtual world. And the other side is already starting to crank up their big artillery. And I think that was the reason for this very obvious denial of service attack on Direktnik. It was almost designed to call attention to the fact that it was happening. And that's why I think it's part of a propaganda buildup for seizing control of the net and putting it back under computer control. So, all righty, moving right along here. Something the media is not paying a lot of attention to, and the blogosphere started really today, is the lack of media coverage about the scale of the flooding in the American Midwest. And we put some pictures up on whatreallyhappened.com, and you can go find them all over the place. It's really major flooding. It's even worse than what followed Katrina. And it's sort of getting downplayed. I mean, the media and the government is all about, oh, Israel and Palestine and Syria and blah, 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 and all that other stuff. And they're not, you know, just like they stopped talking about the Gulf of Mexico last July, they're not talking all that much about the flooding. The local news channels obviously are, because they're in it, but at the network national level, you know, it comes down toward the bottom of the show. It's just not considered that important, and I'll tell you why. And it has to do with the fact that, as I said before, relative to this Direktnik denial of service attack, the U.S. government cannot actually deal with the real world. They only perpetuate their power by creating phony crises that they can conveniently then take care of by selling you a solution for more taxes or less freedom. So the flooding that we're seeing in the United States of America is another gold-plated, key light-lit example of the U.S. government's failure to take care of the United States of America. They're over there taking care of Israel, brand new roads over there, new rockets, new missiles, new bombs to kill Palestinians, and they have neglected this country because the flood control has collapsed. Bridges are collapsing, mines are caving in, oil wells are blowing up, the roads are crumbling. This country is falling apart because the United States government is obsessed with Israel and helping Israel and being good to Israel and taking care of Israel. And if you, as an American, stand up and complain that your tax dollars are not being spent to make this country any better, you're called an anti-Semite. We're going to take a break and be right back after these words from our sponsors.
need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone. The panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And there's another reason for why the corporate media is de-emphasizing all of the flooding all across America and will continue to do so. Because all of that flood water didn't just appear out of nowhere. It's melted snow. We had record snow this last winter. Still do. 20-foot snowpack in parts of the Rocky Mountains out in the west. And they're expecting major, major problems when it starts melting, which it should. We're only a week away from June. But the U.S. government and Barack Obama are still desperate to impose a carbon tax because they're broke and they have got no money left. They're already looting the pension fund of their own workers to try and float this little system along. And they're desperate to get you to pay a carbon tax. And that's all hooked into this whole global warming hoax. See, there's a difference between Al Gore and Harold Camping. Harold Camping actually believed the world was going to come to an end. He was wrong, and so was Al Gore. But Camping has the decency to leave town now that he's been exposed as a fraud. But Al Gore and his people are going to come back this summer as soon as they get high temperatures they can play with. They're going to be back there, global warming, the end of the world, unless you pay a carbon tax and do what we tell you and lower your standard of living and give us all your money, you're all going to die horrible deaths. And it is a crock, and it is quite odoriferous, to put it delicately. So obviously, reports of major spring flooding deriving from really heavy winter snows is not politically correct. It is incompatible with political doctrine and tax policy. And that's another reason it's being de-emphasized. It's just like last July when all of a sudden the corporate media stopped reporting about the Gulf oil disaster. It was just officially declared not an issue. We don't worry about that anymore. It's the same reason why even now Fukushima is being de-emphasized. The Japanese news is still saying they're in total confusion over there. They don't know what's going on. They don't know how to deal with it. Here in the United States, hardly a mention anymore. Last video from Fukushima is showing glowing slag starting to leak from the pile of rubble. And here in our news, it's all about, oh, Israel and Palestine and two-state solution and Syria and Lebanon and, you know. Boy, I'm so glad that everything in this country is running so smoothly and our government has left over time to go and worry about Israel. Because by golly, if they were over there obsessing about Israel and we had like, oh, for example, a crashing economy and crumbling roads and falling bridges and, you know, toxic pollutants all over the Gulf of Mexico, I would sort of kind of want them to be paying attention to that stuff. Now, the global warming cultists, the devotees of the Goracle, are out there saying the tornadoes prove that there's global warming. See? See, the tornadoes are the result of global warming. Not exactly. Tornadoes, and indeed hurricanes, are not the result of warming, but of a temperature differential. They have tornadoes on Mars. They have major hurricanes on Jupiter and Saturn. There's a big one forming on Saturn right now. And those places are a lot colder than Earth. So it's not automatic that heat means tornadoes and hurricanes. It's a temperature differential, a difference between what is cold and what is hot. You can get just as severe tornadoes and hurricanes by cooling the ground and ocean as you can by warming the atmosphere. They're hoping that you don't know enough science to spot the obvious lies. We're going to go to the phones. Chris in Nevada. Aloha, Chris. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, hi, Michael. I was kind of taking a little note of what you were saying, and I know that you're in our favorite weather modification program, the HARP. They've supposedly been tuned up and operating in the New Madrid fault area.
Oh, come on. Come on. Chris, come on. We've had enough of this nonsense, and thank you very much, but we're going to let you go. All right. Anytime the government gets really nervous that you're looking at the things that you shouldn't be looking at, like how the U.S. government has allowed our infrastructure to collapse, they're going to start going in there with HARP and chemtrails and Apollo moon landings were faked and the rest of it. Now, for those of you who are even at all curious, HARP, in fact, I'm going to back up a little bit more. There was a very interesting show on National Geographic last night. They were talking about Area 51 and the stories of space aliens. And they admitted on the show, on National Geographic, that the U.S. Air Force was deliberately putting out stories about flying saucers and captured space aliens because they didn't want anybody, especially in Russia, knowing about the top secret aircraft that were being developed there. Something called Oxcart, which was the predecessor for the SR-71. I was not even aware that there'd actually been an earlier version of the SR-71. That had been tested out there. And so the U.S. government was doing UFOs and space aliens to cover up the development of these top-secret aircraft so that anybody who saw one flying by, they could say, ah, you're just one of those UFO kooks. And so now when we talk about the fact that the global warming situation has collapsed and the infrastructure in this country has crumbled, you know, we're going to get HARP. Now, for those of you who are interested, this is what HARP is. The official name is High Altitude Auroral Research Project. It's very banal, stands for, basically the idea was that we're going to use this array of antennas to heat the upper atmosphere and see what happened. Big deal. What it really is, and anybody who understands radio looking at the antenna array knows that's what this is. It is a test bed for low frequency directed over the horizon radar. Because high-frequency radar can't see over the horizon, can't bounce off the ionosphere. HARP is a test platform to see if they could... But we got to take a break. When we come back, I'll fill in on the rest of what HARP is trying to do, and I don't think they're very successful. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid three times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. So just in a nutshell, what HARP really is, it is a test bed for over-the-horizon synthetic aperture radar. That large field full of antennas up there in Alaska is basically the same system that you would see on the Aegis radar, on the Aegis ships. It is electronically steerable. They don't have to move a dish around. They just change the phasing of the signal at each of those antennas, and collectively it points the beam to a different part of the sky. Now, the spy radar on the Aegis ships is very high frequency. It's designed to see small targets like incoming warheads. HARP is intended to bounce off the ionosphere and image large targets like fleets in the ocean over the horizon. Now, given the advent of space-based radar satellites, HARP may be a little bit obsolete. And I think they're kind of starting to shut down. I think their official website was shut down. But that's all it is. But just like the government was putting out stories about space aliens and UFOs to basically obscure the development of top-secret aircraft in Area 51, the government puts out stories about tornado-making machines and earthquake-making machines to sort of obscure what HARP's real purpose was, because over-the-horizon radar, you know, it would have been a very, very powerful tool from the days of before satellite radar, ocean reconnaissance satellites. So that's kind of what it is. And we know this is a recurring pattern with the government. They'll put out a nonsensical story to try and obscure a real story. No plane at the Pentagon, another good example from that. And that's not to say that there is not intelligent life out there in the universe. I just can't think of a reason they'd bother stopping by and see us, because tribal warfare and cannibalism still seems to be our primary occupations here. Which reminds me, there was another story on National Geographic that was trying to sell this idea that there's a real danger of alien invasion, and we're prepared and our government is ready to defend you. Which is another one of these manufactured crises that the government spends a lot of your tax money getting ready to deal with. Because, first of all, it's a stretch to say that there'd be anything of any real interest on this planet that an alien civilization would want, unless they evolved on an identical mirror world to Earth. Same temperature, same chemistry. They're not going to find Earth comfortable at all. They're going to find their own world comfortable, and ours probably they might view as unfriendly in the extreme. We certainly don't have any cultural treasures that are worth the leap across stars. And one of two cases are going to apply. If they don't have faster-than-light travel, we're going to see them coming from years on end. If they do have faster-than-light travel, there isn't anything we can do about it anyway. But this Geographic show tried to spin it. We could go guerrilla tactics and that work so well against us in Vietnam. And, you know, when we kill one-tenth of them, they will leave. And it's nonsense. It's another classic case of making up a big, scary enemy that doesn't really exist to take money and freedoms away from you. And we know that there has been talk about faking an alien invasion to scare us all into accepting the New World Order. And that's even mentioned in this show. Yes, the nations of the earth put down their differences and they unite together in the face of the blah, 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 blah. And they got it all from this Outer Limits episode back in the 60s. And Architects of Fear, that was the name of the episode, where these scientists create a phony alien and a phony alien spaceship with which to scare the nations of the world into ending war and uniting together in a giant global government, which will then be on the hook to the International Monetary Fund for the rest of whatever. So anyway, you know, the government cannot fight against the truth except with more lies. And they're desperate to junk up the net with all kinds of nonsense that the corporate media can say, oh, look at what those silly people over there on the blogs believe. Because they know they're losing ground. They know they're losing ground. Just as the established political and religious order in Gutenberg's day fought hand and foot, tooth and nail to keep inexpensive books from the hands of ordinary people, the established political and religious order of today is fighting tooth and nail to keep a free and open internet away from you. Because if they can't control what you're thinking, they can't control you. The first step to freedom is the freedom to decide for yourself. And the prerequisite for deciding for yourself is to have all the available information. And that's what the internet is really, really all about here. All right, now I want to get back and talk about President Obama. When he did his big speech last week, where he got up and he started talking about the 1967 borders and two-state solution and blah, 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 and I made the observation at that time, this is just for show, for the American voters going into 2012. President Obama and the entire United States Congress understand that groveling before Israel is not seen as a plus to 98% of the American voters. And so he's going to get up there and he's going to talk tough. And sure enough, the media said, yes, President Obama is talking tough to the, you know, to Israel and all the rest of that. And I said, keep an eye on the speech Sunday before AIPAC, because that will be where Obama really shows his true colors regarding Israel. And sure enough, it came out. Obama is already out there. He's clarifying now that when he was talking about the 1967 borders, he didn't really mean the 1967 borders. He said, there's just been a policy that we should look at this, blah, blah. And he's already backpressing, backpedaling, and the entire world is watching him backpedal. And sure enough, when he got up to make his speech at AIPAC, he did what every president always does, promises to spend American tax dollars and American lives keeping Israel secure, and we're going to go after Iran. We're going to go after Iran. All righty, let's see. So the reality here is, I don't know about you, I'm tired of seeing American politicians who are totally focused on Israel to the exclusion of the problems we have here in the United States of America. Certainly we're seeing that in the American media. And that's why I keep putting out on my website, and I hope that you will put this out among your friends and family as well. No government can serve two masters. and a government that serves Israel does not serve the American people. America, especially now, on the edge of collapse, needs leaders who will put America first, second, and third. I don't want to hear about anybody being a friend to Israel. I want to hear them about being a friend to America and Americans. Or I am just not interested. And nobody talking about friend to Israel is going to get my support for this coming election season. We're going to go to the phones. Frank, aloha. What's on your mind?
How about got an honest legal question for you. I know you can't answer it, and I legally answer it, and I know it's just going to be an opinion, but can a person born in one country as a citizen of that country emigrate to another country? For example, somebody born in Libya, Libyan citizen.
Oh, let me guess. This is the birth certificate thing again, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you not take
okay.
that?
All right, listen, we don't need to go into the minutia of legality. If there was anything at all to this birth certificate nonsense, John McCain and Hillary Clinton would have used it to get Obama out of their way. Period. End of discussion. Thank you for the call. Going to go to Don in Wisconsin. Aloha, Don. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes, this, I don't know if you'll be able to do this or not, but you know, you are one of the most insightful people I have ever listened to. I don't know how you do it, but if you have any kind of anything you'd care to share, like a bibliography or anything, I mean, where do you come from with this insight to the nuggets of truth?
I come from Boston. You know,
I'm serious.
I'm serious.
To know.
I'll tell you where I come from. I'm a heretic. You know, long ago, I made the decision in my life to abandon belief as a shaper of what I think and what I decide and what I know. And once you realize that belief is a method of enslavement, and once you abandon belief, whether it's belief in Santa Claus to get you to be a good kid, or belief in benevolent government to get you to go off to wars without any particular reason, or belief in a divine being who was going to take you all up to heaven last Sunday, once you stop using belief, once you stop allowing belief to control your thoughts, then the people who use beliefs to control you lose all power over you. And you just look around and see what makes sense. And the rules are really very simple. You know, get all the facts, make your own choice. Don't rely on a figure of authority. The primary reason to distrust somebody in authority is that they are in authority. And when you're looking at all these lies and propaganda, look for what should be there and isn't. And 90% of the time, that will tell you who is lying and who is telling you the truth. That's why we were able to spot these phony Bin Laden Photoshop pictures first of the month.
I think one thing that probably would make it all elusive to most of us is we just aren't smart enough to perceive it the way you do.
I disagree. I think what people are lacking in is self-confidence and faith in themselves. You have to understand the biggest decision you've got to make is to decide you're going to be your own best analyst, you're going to be your own best detective, and you are just as smart as the people in the mainstream media. I think that was proven when Cheech Marin absolutely embarrassed Anderson Cooper on Jeopardy, which may support the idea that smoking marijuana does stimulate brain cell growth, but that's another issue entirely. The people who are on the corporate media aren't smart. They just look good, and they speak convincingly whatever's on the teleprompter in front of them. And I have a lot of confidence in the American people. I think, ultimately, if you start thinking for yourself and deciding for yourself, you're all collectively pretty much going to make the right decisions. There'll be some people who go off on a wrong path, but they'll average each other out.
I think that, depending upon your age, you would be a person that the masses would follow.
Well,
I believe that.
I want the masses to follow themselves. You know, I almost feel like I'm back in Life of Brian. You don't need a messiah. You know, you really, follow yourselves. You know, decide for yourself what is moral. Decide for yourself what is right and wrong. Decide for yourself whether the wars are necessary.
Don't
follow me. I trip and fall.
Well, the bottom line is, that was just the point I was going to make, is that most people probably don't enjoy the degree of success that would give them the confidence to think that they're right more than they're wrong. If they're honest with themselves.
No, the only reason they don't have that confidence is because, you know, parents and school and teacher are always giving you the message, you're not as smart as the people in government. You're not as smart as the people in media. You're not as smart as these authority figures that we decorate with all of this gratuitous awards to puff them up and make them look important, like when Obama gets his Nobel Peace Prize and Al Gore gets his Peace Prize. And we begin to understand those awards are not based on merit. They're merely decorations to convince you that these people, you should let these people tell you what to think rather than deciding for yourself.
Well, you probably know that you don't believe that they're that smart. But the point is, you probably, if you're at all honest with yourself, you realize you're probably not that smart yourself either.
You know, I would agree with you on that last one. You know, the more I learn, the less I seem to know. And I think that's probably true for most people. We're all raised to be very insecure. But, I know one thing that I accept as an absolute fact. You're all smart enough to figure out what to do with your own life. You're all smart enough to figure out what to do with your own life, and don't let anybody else come in and tell you what to do it. Because what they tell you to do with your life is not for your benefit, it's for their own. Money in the collection plate, soldiers for the army, taxes for the global warming, whatever.
I agree with you completely. Thank you for your time. You're a delight to listen to.
Well, thank you very much, sir, and thank you for that phone call. All righty, moving right along here. Now, coming out of Barack Obama's speech last week, where the subtext was to the Palestinians, don't declare a state. We're going to get Israel and Palestine back to the negotiating table, and already Bibi Netanyahu said, no, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. No 67 borders. You know, the Palestinians, you know, blah, 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 and perhaps not surprisingly, the Palestinians have said, we are continuing on this statehood movement at the United Nations. And Israel cannot stop it because it's a General Assembly vote and it's moving forward. And so Obama basically humiliated himself in the United States of America and did not get anything for it, did not accomplish any agenda, whether it was for the United States or certainly for Israel. All right, we're going to go back to the phones. Andrea in Oklahoma. Aloha, Andrea. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes, I was perusing your website before you came on and saw that they were going to vote on the Patriot Act, on renewing it. I went ahead, even though I know it's, you know, wasting my time, but I did it anyway, and I still advise everybody to go ahead and call their representatives, like I did, and say they're against the Patriot Act and to vote it down. And I asked what their view was, Imhoff and Colburn's view was, and they're basically going to vote it back in. I also saw that you had a really interesting idea. It looked like Grand Central Station, where people had evidently gotten together and planned a little song about freeing Palestine. And it went on, I guess, for about 5 minutes before the police broke it up, but there were, showed like hundreds and hundreds of people that were going to Grand Central Station, and they were all filming it with their telephones and stuff. So yep. it, the message got out. They got their song out, and they got, you know, they were holding up their banners, and before they were all dispersed, at least they got a message out, and that was
they did, and it went viral, and every poll that's being run shows that the vast majority of ordinary Americans support the formation of a Palestinian state. And that, you know, Israel should, like every other country on earth, draw their borders finally and agree to live within them. Why is Israel allowed to basically operate without borders? And every other nation, yeah, we got to put that line on that map and we've got to learn to live within it. And I think the days when Israel could get by, you know, just riding the heightened sympathy from World War II, those days are over, because all of that stuff, whether it happened or not, and I don't want to even get into that debate right now, it's the first half of the previous century. It happened before pretty much all of us were born. Certainly happened before I was born. And we need to get back to living in the 21st century and deal with the evils and atrocities and ethnic cleansing we see before us right here and right now, because we can do something about what Israel is doing to Palestine. We can't change the history of Nazi Germany, no matter how much we may wish to. But we can change the history of present-day Palestine, and we ought to.
I have one thing that I've questioned for a long time. even though Kennedy was shot, and then Bobby Kennedy was shot, you'd think the Kennedys, the family, even though there is the mafia and the bankers and everything, what do they have to lose by coming out and saying exactly that? It was the bankers, it was the mafia, it was all these things, and making it public, whereas, you know, if like...
Well, I think to the answer to the question... I have to cut you off, Andrea, because we're coming up on the end of the segment. I think the answer to that is I think they were waiting to breed a bulletproof Kennedy from the marriage of Arnold Schwarzenegger and Maria Shriver, but that obviously has not worked out. No, the serious answer to the question is the Kennedys are still a political family, and they're going to play by the rules because, you know, Robert Kennedy got shot when he wanted to look at John Kennedy's assassination, and Ted Kennedy got run off the road at Chappaquiddick when he started talking about going in and looking at Robert and John F. Kennedy's assassinations. So the people are still out there. They still have guns. And I think most of our political families in this country are still very much afraid of those people. All right, we got to take a break. Andrea, thank you for the phone call. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And we're going to go to Scott in Wisconsin. Aloha, Scott. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Michael. How you doing, brother? Hey, I wanted to ask you if you've seen what Utah did.
Yes, I did.
Yeah,
I've been paying
Utah,
attention to that.
Yeah, Utah, they legalized, they were saying gold and silver coins as currency, and I just wanted to ask you how you feel about that and where do you think that would go?
Well, that's what got Libya invaded, so I'd be very, very careful if I was up there in Utah. But then, you know, on the other hand, those Mormons are really tough people. They've had a couple of rebellions up there already. You know, it's kind of, I think, very instructive when you come to understand that when the United States of America was formed, all money was supposed to be silver and gold coin or a claim check thereof. Yes, there was paper money, but the paper money wasn't the money. It was merely a claim check that you could take to the bank and get the silver and gold on demand. That was the legal money. And printing paper certificates or coins that were not silver and gold, that weren't backed by anything, that was punishable by death under the Coinage Act of 1792.
Mm-hmm.
So now all of a sudden we've gone through the mirror of the Federal Reserve, where these pretty printed pieces of paper that are backed with nothing at all are the mandatory legal tender in the United States of America, and silver and gold coins are, in some cases, as we saw with the Liberty Dollar, they're open to prosecution. So I think what's going to happen here in Utah, this is going to create a state's right issue. There's going to be a conflict between the federal government that wants us all slaves to the Federal Reserve and the state of Utah that wants a value-based currency for their own people to use. And remember, this debate has ended in deaths before. You had Abraham Lincoln, who issued his greenbacks. You had Kennedy, who issued silver, a new version of silver certificates called the U.S. Notes, and they were killed. And so I expect that there'll be a huge, huge fight on this, and it may be the action which basically provokes the beginning of the states seceding from the federal government, because the states understand, just as you and I understand, that if we stay with the Federal Reserve System, we are all doomed to homelessness and poverty, because the money junkies can't quit. They're hopelessly caught in their addiction. And everybody who tries to break away from the grip of the Federal Reserve, well, that's just an escaping slave. We've got to drag them back, and we've got to flog them, and we've got to cut off a toe so they can't run away again. And that's exactly the mindset that's going on here. The Federal Reserve note is a tool of enslavement, just like chattel ownership of humans, just like the belief in divine right.
Well, Michael, you said it earlier, and I totally agree with you. And, you know, you just said it like with Libya. You know, I agree with you that this could actually blow up, because here they are doing the same thing. They want to get away from that corrupt currency of our Federal Reserve, and it's going to be interesting to see where this goes. But I do think that you're right on with me, brother, what you were saying, and I think this is going to be interesting to follow this one out. But thank you for taking my call and commenting on there, big guy.
You got it. And, we're going to follow this very, very closely, because the money junkies behind the International Monetary Fund and the Federal Reserve, which is sort of IMF light, local branch, they're playing this huge scam on the entire planet called a debt-based currency. They have a license to counterfeit from every government that allows them to parasitize their people. And they use their money to buy their way into more and more governments, and they're basically trying to bring this system of banking to the entire world, even at the point of a bayonet. When we talk about this clash of civilizations between the West and Islam, what this is really about is a clash of banking systems, compound interest and fiat debt-based currency versus value-based currency and loan plus fee lending in the Islamic states. Our kids are dying over a banking system war. And I think that's a really stupid reason. Okay, should I be hearing